What's up, guys? Welcome to In the Grip Podcast. I'm Josh Berry with my good buddy AJ Cooper. AJ, what's been going on, man?
Not a lot. Just glad to be back on the podcast. We have been a little bit sporadic here lately, but it's good to sit down and do it. And golf season's starting, so it's perfect time to do it.
Good, good week for Mosswood guys. One man week.
Yeah, one man. It's the first major of the year.
Hopefully this pod gets everybody excited, fired up, ready to go.
Yeah, that's the plan here. So, yeah, let's talk about it. Why don't you introduce our guest over here?
Well, we've had both of them on the pod before. One we named Old Three Fingers, TK, Mayor Fiddlesticks, Terry Kendrick. What's up, buddy?
Hey, glad to be here, guys.
glad to have you back.
It's awesome. The one man is near and dear, for sure.
Yep, we talked about that last time you were on. Next one we got is the king of Mosswood, Mike Fulton. Mikey, what's up?
What's going on, guys?
Not a lot.
Glad to be on again.
Well, we're glad to have you guys here. Ready for you guys to share some of this knowledge that you have.
The old one-man stories.
Old one-man story. Just any stories, really. And all right, so one man is this weekend. We've got how many signed up?
Mike, would you say 60?
I think we're between 66 and 68.
66, so getting close to 70. That's a pretty solid number for the one man.
Yes, it is.
Not like the old days where we used to get 90, but...
Or
105. Yeah. Or 105. Squeeze as many in as you can. Yeah. That's a lot of golf balls hit in one day right there.
Absolutely.
That was the Mosswood way, you know, was if you asked for 90 and you could get 120, you took them.
Yep.
And you figured out what the hell to do with them later.
Yep. But,
yeah. Yeah, that's not a bad philosophy.
So I'm going to chime in a little bit on the old history, and I think we've maybe been through this before, but how this thing started was really Kenny, Goonie Bird, PJ, Jim Snitzler, Art, them guys would play when the weather was not very good, either fall, winter, early spring, whatever it may be, and decided, let's hit two balls. And so they did, and they go out and play, and hell, they somewhat competitive, I think, against each other. That's the way they were going to do it. I don't know maybe who bought the beer, which would have been a very expensive process, but anyway, the bottom line then, Kenny approached me when we were doing some of these tournaments, and it's like, okay, we need to have a one man. I said, what the hell is a one man scramble, and so we went through it and we got going. And the very first year, we begged anybody, members, non-members, anybody, any guy that could walk and halfway play golf in Monroe to play. And I think we got 48 guys, and we thought, well, that ain't too bad. And I'll even tell you, so Goonie Bird, in all his infinite wisdom, decided we didn't help this cause. So he went to the TV station, either WGEM or KHQA, and went over there and just bugged the crap out of them until they talked about it on TV. They actually brought it up on the sports thing and TV, said Mosswood's having a one man, and of course the guy doing it's like, we don't even know what a one man scramble is, But so that sparked a little interest the first year, and then it started growing from there. And I think about year two, maybe three, we got about four Iowa guys, and they loved it. Well, those four turned into 12 the next year. That turned into, at one point in time, I think you probably had 25 or 30 Iowa guys
down
here.
We had over 40.
There you go. Mike knows better than me. But that's how it all ballooned into getting close to that 100 number, because, year two we were probably 70 some odd, and year three we were in the 90s, and then all of a sudden, boom, it blew to 100, and all those Iowa guys, and they loved Monroe City, they loved Mosswood, they loved the people that go along with it, and they loved that golf tournament.
They loved to drink.
And they, they fit right in. They were
Monroe
City guys.
Where were they at
up
in Iowa? I mean,
can't even tell you where all they were from. But it was all that same, I want to say, and maybe Donelson, but it was maybe even a little more north.
Probably around Muscatine.
That's right. Yep. Yeah.
Muscatine area.
That sounds right. Yep.
And surrounding that.
And they had guys, and the other funny part about that was the dugout would do karaoke that night. Well, the one Iowa guy, Kevin Lloyd's his name, we called him Tiger. And the kid could play. Good. I mean, he could play. But guess what? He could sing. He was on like Star Search or something got like quarter finals or something. This dude could sing. So not only was he a heck of a golfer, but I mean, everybody came up to the dugout to hear, hoping Kevin would sing.
Probably like an old guy now? Or
well,
no, he's still, well,
yeah, probably, yeah.
He's probably in his late 40s.
Yeah. Yeah,
mid-40s.
Yeah, maybe a little. I don't know. You the truth.
I just didn't know if he was.
I will tell you. Yeah, him and Kenny end up. They always got grouped up a lot of times, and they got to be best of buddies, and it was cool as hell, really. But this a great guy, good golfer. But like I said, hell, he can sing better than you can golf. Oh yeah, Saturday night. I mean, really, you could have just paid him and everybody else sat back and you watched him. But yeah, it's cool. But yeah, that was so the whole Iowa contingency is what blew it up into being, you know, getting over the 95 to 100 guys and all that. And we never dreamed we'd ever get that. We put that on the flyer, 90. Golfers, 6 flights, you know. Who has an E-flight? Hell, nobody has E-flight, you know. But we did, so yeah.
Yeah, that's wild.
What year do you think it was that it got started?
Oh, let's see. 86, 7, 8, somewhere in there. I'm just going to fire
that
out.
Around 90 is when it got, like, 100 guys?
Or yeah, 90. No.
Probably 90. 95,
yeah, 96. It was a little later in the 90s. We probably hung in there in that 75 to 80 range for 3 or 4 years, maybe.
I was back here whenever it ballooned to over 100.
Yeah.
And that was back in 93.
Yep. So, that's probably about right. Mike's, yeah. You know, I'm old, can't remember that far back. But anyway. But yeah, no, it was, I want to, because it wasn't very many years after the course had opened that then we did the one man. And like I said, I got to give props to all the members and even a lot of non-members around town that very first year. We begged and told every one of them. A lot of them did not want to play. They weren't very good. That's a lot of golf that time of year. We did it early April for a reason, you know, to get it going. And they did it to support Mosswood.
Yep.
Yep.
That's cool. So, Mike, did you ever come back and play the one man while you were away from town?
I played it a time or two before I left, but then whenever I moved back in 93, probably played it every year.
Ever since.
But it was a lot bigger once I got back than before I had left. And I probably only played it maybe once or twice, just happened to be in town or something, and it was that time of year. Yeah, I'm going to say mid to late 90s, I think it blew up really good with big numbers.
And like I said, the beauty of it all was just the out-of-town folks we started drawing. You know, I mean, it kind of was our little local circle at one point because it was only Monroe City guys playing in it, and then a few more came and a few more came. And, I don't know. There'll probably be some out there argue, but I can tell you it was the initial – one man scramble in the world, far as I'm concerned.
Really,
you had people feed off of it. Shelbina went to a one man mulligan, and there was some of that went on. But I can tell you right now, I'm gonna give Kenny Fulton and Gooney and all them guys, but that the initial. Original one-man scramble, Mosswood Meadows, Monroe City, right, Missouri.
That's pretty cool.
That is amazing. I was up at Kirksville about a month ago playing around the golf, and there was a guy from Iowa, and he's from northern Iowa. And we were talking about scrambles for him, and he said, I don't really play scrambles, he said, other than one-mans. He said, I love one-man scrambles. he said that's the only scramble he plays in is one man scramble. So Iowa guys love it, but he's from Northern Iowa, so he's not from that group. But it's obviously spread. You know, I would imagine it's spread more than just here in the Midwest. It's probably everywhere now.
I got to give just a little bit of funny story, and I mean it's fairly quick with the Iowa guys. We're up the bar after the Saturday deal, and you know you always said the only honest golfer was that first one up here on championship flight, and that last one down there and at this case was E-flight. And he shot about 110 or whatever, and I went up to him, actually Hollywood and I, because we were laughing about it, and saw him, went up to him, talked to him, and said, "Dude, we got to tell you, you're one of the most honest golfers in here." And he said, "Well, I got to tell you, I'm maybe cheated a stroke or two." And I mean, the dude shot 110 in a one-man scramble. And I'm like, Hollywood and I just busted out, and we said, "I think it's okay."
It is.
It'll be all right.
You earned them.
I told him, I said, "I can't believe you ain't home in bed, dude."
That's a lot of swings.
Oh, man. That's a lot of swings. Anyway.
Well, my memory of the one man doesn't go quite that far back, but I do remember, you know, being a kid, and I would get to go out and watch. And, you know, I'd always want to watch championship flight. And that was watching Mike and those guys compete against each other, the guys from Quincy. Kevin, I would watch him play, and there was always another one or two guys from Iowa that could play up in championship.
Tony
too.
Sometimes was up there.
Shervini, or whatever you pronounce his name. We never knew how to pronounce it, but he kind of ran their show for a while up there. Yep.
Yeah, but I just remember being a kid and just looking forward to the day that I would get to play in the one man.
It was the thing about that tournament from a, you know, a guy like me that was middle of the road, if that at best middle of the road golfer, your score improved so much, you know. I mean, it was amazing to me. The first year we played it, I'm like, what the heck? I mean, I think I turned in a 76. Well, I had never got anywhere near a 76 before, but, you know, because you're hitting extra shots and all that. That's what it made it so much fun, especially I really think for the lower flight golfers, was you shot a score you never going to shoot in your life, to be
that's
honest.
That's second
best
bad.
Yeah. That, we always said that, that your partner was pretty good most of the time, but not all the time. But, yeah, and that was what was intriguing about the whole thing, and I think started just keep drawing people to it. And drawing the wide variety of golfers to it.
Yeah, I've never heard somebody play a one man and not like the format.
You're right.
It's all on your own. I don't think I've ever heard anybody say.
You don't have anybody to get mad at but yourself.
Right.
Yeah.
The other good thing about it was that, and when we developed or went to the six flights, that was part of that too, was to get that guy that, you know, he can't go play. I'm sorry, the four mans and the three mans that get to be the sandbag specials that, you know, that he can't really compete in.
Yeah.
He can compete in this one because he ends up down there in a flight, guys just like him. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're all identical, and, you know, they
it's a flight for everybody except that guy that shoots 110.
Well, 110, yeah. But you know what? He did come back next day, which we had a bet on that, too, and I think I lost. But, yeah, because I'm pretty sure I didn't think he'd come back.
You know, I think he improved, though.
I think he did improve.
I think he went to, like, 106 or 107.
Yeah, I don't think he got the 90s, but
no,
I think he was in the 100s.
No, he still got all that practice the first day. You don't get better after all that practice.
I mean, when your score at the end of the one-man scramble was, like, 215 or something, whew.
Yeah,
that's
a lot of swings.
Hey, but guess what? He got his money's worth.
Yeah, he did get his money's worth.
More than anybody else.
No doubt. He had to be sore.
All right, so do you guys remember any amazing stories or just off-the-wall stories from the one man, just weird things that happen, even weather, anything like that, anything that...
Weather.
You can give the weather stuff.
Or... Yeah, we had it all, you know, and you might have it all in one day.
First sometimes. Weekend in April?
Yeah.
You're right.
Yeah. Oh, it sleeted one year. I mean, the greens truly looked like, you know, the snow caps in Colorado at that point in time. I mean, it was just covered. And, you know, we're like, what in the heck are we going to do? So we all just hang out, you know, till all of a sudden it kind of, and water runs off good enough, and we go back out and play some more. But, yeah, I mean, you can't even imagine. But, yeah, then it'd be nice. It might be nice for about 3 or 4 holes, and then just miserable for a lot. The weather was unbelievable. Lightning, thunder, and anything else you can imagine. Yeah.
Well, I think I've been here for 4 years now. This would be my fourth one man that I've been in, and I don't know that I've played in the tournament that I haven't been rained on and freezing my butt off.
Yeah. Or the last year, I remember the wind was blowing so damn bad in your face every hole. It felt like
If the wind's blowing out at Mosswood, it's in your face.
Yep.
For 7 of the 9 holes anyway.
Yeah.
And it's brutal. So it's weather will play a part. It's going to play a part this weekend. I mean, the temperature on Saturday is going to be nice. It's going to be in the upper 60s. Wind's going to be a little bit. But on Sunday, for those of us that are stuck in the morning, it's going to be probably high 40s and 20 to 25 mile an hour winds with gusts to 30 plus. And it's not going to be any fun. But I guess it's time to suck it up and put your big girl panties on and get after it.
Who can go out there and battle in the elements, basically. But that's kind of, it's always been a part of this tournament.
It has been a part of it. That's right, AJ. And Lance, you're right. I mean, like I said, you've only experienced
this time
a few
years,
but it's exactly. Yeah. And when you did it early April, like we did originally, you really knew.
Yeah, you
had no clue what you did. We've had times we had to cut down the qualifying being 9 holes because, you know, one side or the other, it was so horrible in the morning. You got enough, got 9 holes in, and you got everybody off there. And then the afternoon, you say, well, never mind, just play 9 holes because that's all we're qualifying off of, those type things. And, yeah, and like I said, sleet, rain. I mean, I remember just water standing everywhere. But the cold, too. I mean, there's times it's been brutal. But
I think we had that a couple years ago on Saturday.
Yes.
9 holes.
Yeah. I think the morning group got done and fought a lot of rain. And then the afternoon, it was a turd floater. Yeah. And
I remember
you couldn't play, so they actually got 9 holes in. You know, we sent them, took a delay, and then, took a delay.
Yeah,
and then
we set my group.
Like, get 9 holes done, and that's what we're going to do. So we cut, 9 holes.
Yeah. Josh, I think you were with me.
I don't remember what year that was.
Been that pavilion.
Yeah.
We had 4 or 5 guys stacked up in the back of that.
Yeah. I do remember that. I was thinking that the other day, actually.
So I will tell you one thing about Mosswood, that if they found a way to figure out how to get 9 holes in or whatever, something in to keep the money, because that's why we put this stuff on, was to get the money. I don't want that to sound bad. It's not anything sound bad, but you had put the work and the effort into it. So, okay, what do we have to do? Okay, you qualify with 9.
Good.
We'll play tomorrow. Hopefully we play tomorrow. If we only play again 9 tomorrow, guess what? We're going to flight it, do this.
Yep.
I mean, we had options through there, but the main option was that the golf course made money off the thing. That was the main option.
Yeah, that is the goal.
It absolutely is. Goal.
So it is important that everybody just kind of be flexible when that's going on. If you're playing in it, don't
absolutely
get upset.
Have to be flexible for the one man. Yeah, you have no idea what's going on.
That's exactly right. And what I would tell you from a guy that ran them for a long time, try to be nice to the guy running them just a little bit, because he's under a lot of pressure. Mother Nature, you can gripe at her.
I'm not old.
Leave that guy alone.
Right, he's doing his best. All right. So, Yeah, the one man originated at Mosswood. I mean, we almost need shirts that say that. Or
yeah, that'd be pretty
cool. As far as we're concerned, it did.
Yeah.
Grab me one, TK.
Yeah. Miller, please. Grant. We had to get Grant on that.
Miller.
The originator. Mosswood. Yeah. Mosswood logo. Yeah. Originator of the one man.
Yeah. I know. I want it on a hat and a shirt right now.
There you go. I like that. I like that idea, too.
Right. Yeah, we need to make it shirts. Mosswood originated the one man.
Yeah, I'm feeling a little. I didn't even start the tournament. I'm feeling some pride over here because of it.
What somebody needs to go back and check the year, and I like I said, that would be interesting to me. But surely you could find it. Maybe I don't know if you can or not. But
would Chiz? Would he be one that would know?
No,
Chiz wouldn't.
No,
he wouldn't remember.
No,
It had to be.
Late 80s.
86 or 87.
Art is your best bet.
I think Art's your best bet on that.
Art might know.
Well, thank you all for doing it because it was already my favorite tournament, but the more we talk about it and the history of it, it's definitely my favorite tournament.
So, had somebody asked me the other day, what's the lowest score that's been out there one man wise? AJ, you said you knew it. You thought it was Little Joe?
Yeah, Little Joe shot 27 under 1 year. Shot 14 on the first day and 13 on the second day.
Really?
Yep. And that's the lowest. I think 14 is
the
lowest.
Did he tell you that or do you know that?
I know that. Yeah, because I shot 13 on day one and he was beating me by one. And I shot 10 on day two and I got beat by a lot. Yeah. I do remember that. And
I don't remember that.
I don't think anybody's ever turned in a 15 for one day. 14 has happened three times that I remember. But there, you know, things could have happened before I started playing in this. This is just what I remember. So
no clue.
So yeah. I'm pretty sure the worst score ever turned in is the 110.
Yeah,
you guys talked about.
Yeah, and he cheated.
He cheated.
Yeah. Hey, you should have told him he can't come back tomorrow because he cheated.
DQ.
We died laughing so hard we couldn't tell him.
DQ.
Just come in. I'm dead serious. I might have cheated a couple strokes, you see.
Did he buy himself in Calcutta just in case
believe,
he got hot?
I believe he went in the pool, I believe, and he was still in the pool, drowning at that point in time. Yeah.
That was pretty good.
That is good.
Yeah.
But, yeah, as far as records go, 13's the best second day score that's ever been shot. I don't know too many others off the top of my head. I know the best I've ever done, and it's not that good, so got to work on that.
Yeah, that's an awesome score in that, even in that format, because, I mean, you know, you think about it, you're playing your own ball for the most part.
Yep.
And a lot of things can go haywire. And, yeah, all the times I ran them, that's the funny part. I couldn't tell you a score one. I can barely tell you any score. I remember one time I shot 76. That's all I'm going to tell you. And that's all. And I probably didn't do any good then. But, yeah, you know, you hand out the money and this and that and the other, and all you want to do is get the damn thing over with. And,
right, right.
And, make sure nobody killed you in the process. So, yeah.
I understand that.
Yeah, you were talking about going up to the bar afterwards after you all did cuts and everything.
Oh, yeah.
Years ago, and you said, yeah, there'd be somebody come up there.
Yeah, it was brutal because somebody always wanted to get in your face about it.
I use your line cuts. Anytime somebody bitches about, oh, they should have, you know, they're at the bottom of A instead of the top of B or something. And I say, well, the problem is whoever's running its number didn't add up to what your number was.
Exactly.
And
right.
Y'all couldn't get along because that's what you said.
I always say that. Yeah, I did always say that. I said, the problem in this deal is my number and your number didn't match.
Yeah.
And guess what? My number mattered and yours didn't, evidently. Yeah. But that was the problem in the thing. Oh, I got that many a time. Oh, boy. But anyway.
You're not going to make everybody happy.
No, it's impossible.
You ain't going to do it.
Golf deal, make very few of them happy, to be honest with
you. So TK and I are wondering when we're going to throw a senior division into this one man. You know, 55 and older, you know, maybe even go, we'll go to 60.
How about 53 and up?
All right, part of this podcast is getting all these new ideas out there, and we can hash it out right here. Senior division.
Yeah, hey.
So right now,
let's do it real quick here. The 60 and older before Junior over here gets to be 60, because I don't want to be in that division.
I think that right now. Mike was just telling me a story the other day, AJ, about him going to Subway, and there was a big long line of 8-10 people in there, and Griff was saying, "Man, you're a couple years away from moving up to the yellows. Are you kidding me?" And giving you so much shit about that.
Yeah. He said, "We're not going to let you do that." I said, "Well, when I get there, dude, you're not going to have that choice."
Yeah.
"Because I'm going, and I'm going to stick it in your rear end." Oh, man!
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's not going to be fun when Mike's up there.
What, 60 and older plays the gold in?
No, it's 65.
Oh, I'm getting ready to say.
Wow. He's just going to spend the next 7 years
worried about that.
About oh, man. Yeah.
So let's say we go start this new senior division this year. If you're 60, you can elect up. Here's the deal, though. You got to pay double the entry fee.
Yeah.
Because you're going to play in the senior division, and you're going to want a place in one of the other flights also, aren't you?
I don't know. That's a good question.
Yeah, I don't. I'm good.
Yeah. I won't. I know that.
He's just going to stick with the senior division.
Yeah, I'm hoping I'm the only one in it. I might win. Yeah. I'll probably get DQ'd.
Well, if you guys come up with a great way to have a senior division, I'm sure we'd implement it in a hurry.
I bet you get some people.
Yeah.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, guys, you know what? I mean, this podcast is awesome and stuff. But, yeah, you know, Mosswood has been kind of an innovator in the deal. You know, even the four-man scramble, there wasn't a lot of them around when that took off. And, you know, and people were like, "Well, you can't do that. You can't get enough, you can't take as many teams, especially a nine-hole golf course and this and that and the other." And as we learned, we took too many sometimes. But, Mosswood, to me, has been a trailblazer in the process. And the one man is a definite. There's no doubt about it. But the others, the four man, there was years we had tournaments all the time just – because we knew we needed to draw outside money into help support the cause. Yep. And whatever we could do. And if we made $5 from somebody from outside, that was better than taking it from some of our own folks. Because we'd already taken all from them we needed to. Yeah. So anyway, I just kudos to the whole, Monroe City. I'm a diehard Monroe guy. And the Mosswood thing is unbelievable, how it all came to be. Dime Makers, thank God for them. Cool process.
Cool
LO. Yeah. Crazy LO, but boy, I didn't tell you, that guy, there's nobody did as much work out there as he did with the bulldozer and all that. I don't even know what he was. He probably 70 years old at that point in time. Who knows? Yeah. Knocking down trees and doing everything else.
Well, when Mosswood was built and the other golf courses that already existed around, were they all sand green golf courses?
So Shelbina and Palmar both were sand greens.
And Norwood didn't exist.
Norwood did not exist. They didn't come in until '90s, mid '90s, Norwood didn't exist.
In Hannibal.
So you had Legion and basically Country Club in Hannibal. You had Shelbina and Palmar was your, and that's where, as a kid, and I didn't play high school golf because it just didn't, but. You know, when we did go play golf, we went to Shelbina and played on sand greens. And as soon as Mosswood came in and went to grass greens and stuff, first of all, our membership rose tremendously from Shelbina and Palmar. And then they figured out pretty quick they needed to put grass greens in. So there again, a little bit of a trailblazer in the area because of what they did and how they did it. And again, it's all big time shout out to George and all the Dime Makers folks, because it wouldn't happen without them.
But we also had the right people in town at the right time to do it.
Exactly right, Lance. You had a bunch of golfers for one thing.
We had the right guys at the right time to do it and get it done and to make it right.
And
the golf course stayed the same.
Yeah.
I mean, we've thrown ideas out about changing the layout of the golf course a little bit here and there. But without them, the golf course, everything that I've ever heard in the 4 or 5 years that I've been around, would have never happened without those guys being here and being part of it.
No, you're exactly right. For one, like I said, Diamondbacker's jumped in, paid for a lot of the layout and all that done. But I remember being out there unloading trailer loads of peat moss and whatever else you had to do. And
we got trailer loads of Zoysia coming this year, so we need all the help we can get.
So, I mean, those kind of things, and it was done all, and it was a lot of them guys.
Yeah.
You know, it was, they wanted a golf course. You know, they had been all them places and played, and they didn't want to. It was time Monroe City had one.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. And I give them, like I said, and you can rattle off, we'll leave out a lot of names, but Kenny Art and PJ, Jim Snitzler, you can go on and on, but man, and L.O. Kuhlman and George Spalding, Albert Spalding, all the Spalding brothers, Harold and Larry and all them, involved big time in making sure that golf course.
And still, a lot of those old guys involved today out there mowing. My father-in-law's out there. Can't see. Yeah, he's out there mowing every damn day.
That's cool.
They're still involved. They're still part of it.
Yep.
I'm on the board, and it makes it be cool to be part of the board because kind of carrying that legacy forward and just doing what we can do to keep it viable.
I mean, could you all imagine Monroe City without a golf course? That'd be tough to imagine.
I don't know that I'd be here.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, my life would have been so much different than it's been if we didn't have a golf course. And so I'm forever grateful for all those people you just mentioned.
I'd probably had a little more sleep and a little less butt eating, but I think otherwise it'd been okay.
Yeah, we're not perfect.
Yeah, no, I didn't tell you, and that's what. So I there was still, and I'm not gonna take, but when I was president of the board, we struggled through times, a big time, as far as financial stuff, and I went to city council and. And of course, a lot of the board members were all there going, "Hey guys, you know what? We need some help.
We need help. Yeah.
We need help because this is a big benefit to this city,
mm-hmm.
but we can't support the way we're going." You know, at that time we were paying normal utilities and anything else that went on, and I mean it was killing us.
Yeah.
And so, you know, through a lot of that, and thank God the Alderman, you know, they were very receptive to the whole thing. Yeah. The good part, my brother was one of them, so that helped the cause a little bit, but he was only one.
Yeah, right.
He was only one. Cliff Talton, I can't even remember, but I went and sat down with almost all of them and just said, "Hey, you know what, we got to have help. I don't know what you want to do for us, but we got to have help."
Yeah, even the last 4 or 5 years where I've been involved with the board or out there working, you know, I had to go sit in front of the city council mm-hmm. multiple times. And, you know, it's important that you have your community behind you like that.
Absolutely.
If you go to any municipal golf course throughout the nation and go look at financially how they operate, they need a lot of help. I mean, if you're not charging country club dues, it's hard. It's
mm-hmm.
Yep.
And
you're right.
So AJ. It's important, and it's good that the city sees the benefit of having the golf course here too. It is a benefit for the community, just like having nice parks, just like having, you know, any sort of recreation for people. But I'm glad it's here. I'm glad the one man was created. I'm
glad it's kind of a crazy way it got created, but it got created.
Yeah.
Like I said, Kenny, you got to give it all to Kenny because he was the one who said, hey, why don't we just have a one-man scramble? And I'm, you know, of course, had been running some of the tournaments. I'm like, what the hell?
So you were saying that them guys would go out and play like all winter long or something, you know?
That's how they played it. Yeah,
hit two balls, so that's how it got started.
Just because of the weather was nasty and the greens, they hadn't, you know, I mean, it just was what it was. Right. So they played two balls just to, they didn't care. They just wanted to play golf.
I think they decided they was trying to get 18 holes done in nine holes.
Because it's cold.
So they get
and
the
ball. Yeah, so, and they kind of acted like they were having fun doing it, so they're like, why don't we make a tournament out of this?
That's right.
Nope, that's right.
So,
well, I know I got a bunch of guys excited because my phone's getting blown up all week.
Yeah.
Everybody's excited about it, a bunch of young guys. So.
All right, do we want to make any predictions for this year's one, man?
Winners, losers, something like that. Is that what you mean? Or what do you mean?
All right, biggest sandbagger?
Josh Berry. No, I didn't say that out loud. I did not.
I've donated the past 2 years.
Well, you donated the first year I played. My one quick story. The first year I played, I went out and I think I shot two or three under the first day.
You didn't turn it in.
I did.
Oh, you did.
I did because I've always turned in every score that I've ever shot at any golf tournament at Mosswood. I shot two or three under and Josh Berry bought me in the Calcutta. And then I proceeded to go out on Sunday and shit the bed.
No, I don't think Sunday was the problem. I think Saturday night was the problem.
Well, it was, but happens. You bought me in the Calcutta.
Yeah.
And I apologized for about 3 years.
You still owe me $150.
You just got to buy.
I'm glad you remembered that.
I do.
Buy him again this year.
Like an elephant, I don't forget. I do, but that's my one big story for the one man. It's humbling. It's humbling at worst.
All right.
Well. So yeah, what I'll say, Lance, is when you're playing good in that tournament, man, it really seems good. When it starts to go bad, wow!
It went sideways.
Those two shots really go bad at the same time. They really do.
It went sideways on Sunday.
I understand it. Been there, done that.
Yeah.
And all
Miller Lite did not help on Sunday.
All crap aside, I mean, I'm telling you, when it starts to roll bad, when you're playing and that deal, it's just you can't even get out of your way. You're like, you just want to quit and go home. Yep.
I actually talked to somebody there yesterday, and they said that they played on a one-man scramble, and they had, after the first day, they had a five-shot lead after 18 and went out Sunday, and after the first nine, still had a five-shot lead and blew up and got fourth place.
Yeah,
no doubt.
It can happen.
Oh, well, big time.
You talk about Tim Schrag.
Especially if you have a splinter underneath your fingernail. That's really going to screw you
injuries.
Up.
Injuries. Yeah. Yeah, Timmy, he's showed us all what can happen in a scramble. I mean, you can still make a triple bogey. It's out there, even though you're swinging at it twice.
Lance DeLashman, 1 year he took an 11 on two. It was our last hole.
Oh, very last hole.
Very last hole. He got in, I think, C flight. And anyway, he backdoored money on Sunday. But, yeah, he just kept hitting balls in the water, I think. Man. And then finally, like Griff and Seward were like, dude, what are you doing? I mean, just take a break, you know? And he's, nope. He just kept hitting them in the water. And
Tin cupping it.
he won Calcutta the next day, but he I think he took 11 on two. So like it can go sideways very quick, Lance, like you're saying. Hey, I got some names on good golfers.
Okay. So before you say that, I think that, from what I'm hearing, and I haven't officially seen the list, but I think Championship is going to be really good, and I think A Flight is going to be really good.
Deep.
And if you want me to predict A Flight champ right now, I can do it.
Go ahead.
Chris Griffin. Now, I hope he doesn't hear this before.
No, I hope he does, because I'm in a group text, and he's one of the ones been blowing up my phone all day long. I don't think he does anything at Subway. So phone's been getting blown up, and he's been saying how he's setting the bar out there, because he went out this winter and he shot 33. from the tip tees. And he said, "Oh, I'm setting the bar out there and this and that." It's 31. I don't remember what it was. Anyway, so Baggett texted him and he said, "Griff, you going A or champ?" And he said, "I turn in what I shoot." And he said, "You've been running your mouth all winter long. You can't go A now." So hopefully Griff goes champ.
So I played with Chris 2 weekends ago at Sullivan County Country Club.
He said he made every putt.
He might be the best putter on the planet. And I haven't played that much with him.
Oh, dude, he's
so I had to
blowing
see it
up my
to believe
phone
it.
After he hears this.
And, yeah, I'm pretty convinced that he's a pretty damn good putter.
So what I'm hearing is there's no way we should see Griffin A fight. We got to see him a champ, right?
You know, AJ, every time we talk about this, make somebody bump up, it always works.
Yeah. So,
I mean, we got...
putting that good. He shot a 31 on 9 holes earlier this year.
Griff's going to win me some money.
If he's in A, I got it right now. Well, I got 100 on him right now. So
if he's in champ, he's going to go for 300. If he's in A flight, he's going to go for 3,000.
Yeah. Nah, he won't go that much. But whatever it is, I'm going to own it.
All right. So.
Yeah. All right,
so, let's hear your names.
Yeah, we got one prediction out there. All right.
So actually, the guy who texts me, he says Griff's name, and then in quotations, he says he's going champ. So
okay.
So Griff's in there.
So I got $50 bet that he doesn't.
That he don't. No, because I know how that's going to go. He's going to pour about 3 holes in a row. No, man, I'm bagging back. I can't compete with Mike and AJ.
I can't get him off the tee. Still playing them 30-year-old club irons.
Yeah. So I got, this is who signed up, clearly your championship flight guys. Baggett, Butler, AJ, Benson, Griff, Mike.
It's not going to be Griff.
Haxel.
Yeah, Blaze. Blaze.
That's all I got.
Blaze in that wind's going to be tough. He just hits it so far.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Somebody needs to go bend his putter.
But I did hear that there's
about, you got some Louisiana boys coming up too.
Well, see,
Feldworth boys, and you're missing probably 4 guys off that list.
Well, tell me,
Brad Hunter,
Feldworth, there's 2 or 3 of them, and then Henderson.
Supposed to be 8 or 9 coming, so probably, yeah.
Yeah.
I think you've got probably 5 more that will probably be
Brandstetter.
Yep, he'll be here. So, we got a full champ fight.
That's awesome. You know what, guys? That makes your turn. That makes your turn.
Because I'm tired of going out to tournaments and seeing 5 guys in championship flight and 20 guys in A flight and 20 guys in B flight.
And the guys playing in championship are tired of seeing that, too.
They are. Absolutely are, because it cuts their money down.
Yeah, you go look at the Calcutta A flight, and there's, you know, however many $1,000, and then you look at the Calcutta and champ, and you're like, damn it. Yeah. You know, man, it makes sense.
No doubt about it. But yeah, I always said champ would take care of your
deal.
See,
I didn't know if
you can get, you know, 8, 10, 12 guys, teams, whatever it may be, in championship flight, the rest of it will take care of itself. And it usually does. Now, them tournaments when you have 4 or 5 in championship flight,
you're screwing somebody to put them in A.
Yeah, you have to.
Yeah. Somebody should be in B. He's going to be in A.
Yeah, because you got to have so many morning, so many afternoon, that type deal. You don't have any choice. And that's a lot of guys don't understand that, but, you know, it's all, the guys that back down and do that stuff mess it up. All the way around.
You're right. They've talked about B and C flight, but it starts at championship.
It starts at champ.
And it works its way down.
It's a trickle-down effect.
Absolutely.
Because then, you know, the B flight guys looking at guys that they know are going to go A, and they're like, man, I'm not going there. So they're in B. And the same deal, C flight guys.
Trickle effect.
Yeah, they're like, never mind. Yep. And, you know, and unfortunately, there's about 4 or 5 teams in C say, well, we ain't got nowhere to go because there's no other flight. So we got to stay here, and we can't compete. And that's what happens in the deal.
Exactly.
So we have talked a little bit about, I think we're at, 67, 68? 68, around there.
Yeah, 68 now.
What do we need to get to go add a flight?
Well, you guys have all the history in the world running the golf tournaments there.
So we used to, like I said, way back when, we even said, let's do six flights, 90, so it's 90 golfers, so it's about 15 in a flight. And to me, that's somewhere, and you, I don't know what you're paying four places. Mm-hmm. You're paying four. If you're paying four, then that's where you got to be. Somewhere 13 would be the least amount in a flight, but more like probably 14, 15, 16.
So we need to be 72, 73. So, yeah, we need to be.
Yes. That's what we're talking about.
75 would make it. You got to go. Mm-hmm. You
oh, absolutely.
Go. Yeah.
Yeah, that would be mine, and I mean, just from me running tournaments for ever and ever, amen. But yeah, if you kind of look at that, about 15, and you know, four out of 15 or whatever. I mean, that's
another question about that. Does that mean your B flight would kind of float whether they're going to play morning or afternoon?
Yep.
On yes. Yes.
So, whoever has. That yes. many, you got to send them that way.
Again, yeah. It always depends on how many guys you have in the championship flight.
Champion A. But I think it's going to be.
If you only have five guys in championship flight and you've got 15 guys in A flight, then your B flight will play in the afternoon. Yeah. But as long as the guys that step up will play, that can play championship flight, will play champ flight, then that fixes everything.
No, you're right. And you're right, AJ.
That's your
good
buffer.
Good question on that, though. B becomes your floater.
Yeah,
one,
they float.
This way or that way. And normally they would end up going afternoon because of you were always light in champ and then, you know,
sure.
A little bit in A.
I'm not sure that's going to be the case here.
But it probably won't be the case. And the other thing I would tell you.
I'd be surprised.
I don't know. If you have to overload one, you probably ought to overload the afternoon because your better golfers are in there for the most part.
Right.
And they should play a little faster. Doesn't always work that way, but they should play a little faster.
Yeah, I understand. No, well, that would be a great problem to have.
It would be a great problem to have.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you got the 72 or 3, I'd definitely go five flights and see what happens.
Yeah.
That's where you'll make it.
The tournament committee would love to have that problem.
59 and above. 59 now? Make that group error where we're in there, Terry.
I remember not that long ago that there was like 32, 34 in this thing. There were three flights in it, I think.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, not that long ago. And then we had COVID year 2 years ago, 77 in it. And that was the first big one that I played in that it got big again. You know, it was always around 40s.
Yeah,
I see. Maybe 50.
Yeah.
That was the year
we had 77 in it.
77 in the COVID year. I remember that.
Four flights.
That was the year you bought me, the COVID year.
Was it?
Did you do four flights?
I'm not positive.
Yeah.
But.
So you have other options when you do that. If you decide to say, you know what, we just want, you know, the four flights, you add. You had a place.
Yeah.
You had a place.
That's what we'll have.
You know,
talk about
you can do that too.
I'm sure that helps.
That's already been in discussions.
That helps the cause too. Because, I mean, there's ways around that deal because you're like, well, let's just make it clean cut, two here, two in the afternoon, two in the morning, but let's add a place and go on. So there's options in that process.
Yeah, at least the money back place anyway.
Yep.
What are we paying right now? First, second, third?
Fourth.
So
first and fourth.
So talking about maybe going fifth, get their money back.
Mm-hmm. Bumping a couple of the others up a little bit.
Yeah, and that would be your other thing.
Yeah, just if we're paying fifth, then everybody else first through fourth would get a little bit more money too.
So guys, the old rule was you took a percentage, and everybody had a different number. Was it 80%? Was it 75? Was it 82? And you kind of jockeyed with it a little bit, but percent of payback is what it amounted to.
Right.
So here's what you took in. We're going to pay back this much. And then you started dividing accordingly, you know. Well, when you added a few more teams and had a little bit more you took in, then you figured out how to distribute it accordingly without adding flights, you know, because you get caught in between, you know, that number of
right.
this many people and this and yeah, adding a flight.
And to kind of pull back the curtain a little bit from yeah. people that don't know, people that don't know, golf tournaments run by the golf course are there to make money for the golf
exactly
course.
Exactly right.
If they're not a fundraiser where all the proceeds go back to a fundraising, the golf tournaments are for the golf course to make money.
That's exactly
and
right.
And the golf course needs to make a certain percentage to make the numbers work to be able to put it on.
That's right.
So we tinker with the numbers. We tinker with that percentage a little bit. And we always try to give back as much as we can to be able to make it work. Right. So that's where TK is going with that. Is it exactly. is it to we have to play with those numbers off and on, and they're played with every tournament based on the number of people in the tournament, and that's what we're talking about.
Exactly.
Either adding another flight or adding another pay another place to give the people their money back.
Right.
And that's how it all works. And just so the people know. That's what we're doing.
Yep.
It's not right. It's not a huge money making deal, but the golf course has to make some money at some point.
No, and that's why you wouldn't put them on unless you're gonna make money. The other deal is, you know, okay, all of a sudden you advertise for 40 teams and you got 41. Well, you know what you're gonna do with that other team? Thank you very much.
Yep.
That's probably our money.
Thank you for your contribution.
There's nothing to do with that money. You're not, you know, you're
yeah.
You've it's already given enough and this and that and the other. Yeah. So it just changed your percentage about 0.5. Who cares in that deal?
To the better.
So, yeah, to the better. Yeah. And so, you know, those are things, and people do have to realize, and Lance, you bring up a good point. You know, it's not charity event out there going on.
No.
I mean, this is being done to keep the golf course functioning the way it needs to be functioning because it needs money.
We have bills. We have bills. We have people that work their ass off to get stuff done, and we have to pay those people to do it. Nope. So
exactly right.
And if every team shoots out in a flight, what do we do with that money?
Keep it.
All goes in the pocket, baby.
We survived 5 flights, though, Mike. We barely survived. So,
two years ago in the four-man, we had that.
Yeah.
And it was
impressive.
I'll give you a funny story. I'm downtown Hannibal with Finn sitting outside. The band's playing, this and that. My phone's blowing up. I'm like, what's going on? And Jeff Graham called me. Mikey was standing there by him. But anyway, Graham was telling me this. And I about fell over. I'm like, are you kidding me? Everybody shot out.
Yep.
He goes,
everybody in the morning did.
He said,
except for one team.
He said, what would you do? I said, I'd stand up and tell them all, thank you very much.
Yep, thank you for your contribution.
You knew the rules. You made a lot more money.
You knew the rules. You knew the rules before you start.
I was listening to that podcast when we were talking about this on that pod. And we were talking about something. It was right before the four-man, and we were talking about how we thought we'd seen everything. Well, that was one thing that TK said, yeah. Talking now, after that had happened, that's one thing you never seen.
Everybody in the morning shot out of the tournament.
Never
one team
saw that in
one team
life.
In C-Flight. Not ever. Tournament. They gathered all the damn money
3 years ago.
Not ever a whole flight shot out. I never saw that in my life. Yeah.
There you go.
It's crazy. Crazy,
five
crazy.
Flights.
2020. But again,
2020.
As I said, I know I told these guys, I said, you know, you can't pay tournament money if you didn't win the tournament.
Right.
And nobody won that tournament.
Nope.
Yeah. Who gets the money?
Yeah.
There was a number.
Yeah.
And if you shot over that number, you shot out of everything.
Yeah. And Mike and I, we had a lot of conversation about it. And
talk about it.
Nope.
I believe. So that was the first
thing.
But I believe that happened in Mexico last year, maybe. I think it's happened again somewhere. Somewhere around here it's happening again that everybody in the flight shot out again.
Well, what'd they do?
Same thing we did.
Yep.
Yeah.
So,
which is exactly what you should do.
And one team sat there and wanted, well, we was closest one to not shoot out. We ought to win.
You shot out.
Yeah, you shot out. The number is
you
the number.
You didn't win either.
The number
are
is
you
the
trying
number.
To tell us you cheated the least?
Yeah.
That's what they say. That's what they say.
Exactly.
So
you still shot out.
3 or 4 years ago, we had that situation similar in the four-man, but I think it was C-Flight, where everybody shot out but two teams.
Mm-hmm. One.
No.
No, it was
I'm
two.
About, that, I'm talking about two.
It was a different
two.
Time. This was different. Yep.
And different. We turned around, and so we had a first and a second, but we ended up giving
all the money.
The third-place money to the first-place team and the fourth-place money to the second-place team, and we got our butt chewed out on that.
Yep.
So that is when we made the decision.
Yeah.
If there's if you're if that happens again, then we keep the excess. So
and that's what you should do.
And it happened again in a very big way.
We bought a new greens mower with that, I think.
Yeah, we did. Well, it went towards a new greens mower, which was so needed out there, and there's so many other equipment.
Thank you for your contribution to Mosswood Meadow.
Yeah, exactly.
Sandbag a little harder next time.
Yeah. Yeah, we're not upset less. If that continues.
I should say the name, but I don't think I will.
Yeah, we probably.
Probably should.
Yeah, we could call out a lot of people.
Stick that straw in your mouth, drink another drink.
I will.
All right, so I kind of want to move on here. Men's League starts up next week. Not tomorrow, but a week from tomorrow. And so we want to put that out there. We want everybody to be fired up, show up every single week for Men's League. Spend your money. Men's League does a good job of collecting money from everybody's entry fee, and then we turn around and we give that money back to the golf course at the end of the year. And it's gone to...
How many sprinkler heads have we bought?
Yeah, it goes a lot of irrigation heads. This year we're trying to implement some new chemicals into our program because we had, extra $2,400 that we can do it, so... So when you go out and play men's league, it's you're helping out the golf course again, and let's try to get 70 guys a week out there. We can. The weeks we have 60 is great, but let's try to get 70 and more. So,
yep.
Just wanted to mention that starts, and I hope everybody plays as much as they can, and I'm looking forward to it. And In the Grip is going to run men's league again. Is that's correct?
Yep. As long as you're good with it.
Yeah, I'm good with it. We do need somebody to step up and take care of the meals, though.
Yeah, we were talking last year, and what did we do? Do we do two meals, something like that?
I think we did two.
I think we wanted to do three. We only did two.
Yeah.
Starting in June, I think, is when we wanted to start. June, July, and August, we wanted to do a meal.
What are you looking at me?
We're looking at you because
you're really good at cooking.
I'm trying to figure out what we're going to cook.
Yeah. I will volunteer to cook anything that y'all do. Y'all want to cook, y'all let the men's league figure that out. And you send it to me, I'll smoke it. We'll do it, and it'll get done. Promise. So, as far as that's concerned, The dugout will donate their time and the smoker and the smoky will take care of the rest of that.
Good. All right. That's good. All right. Anything else about men's league we need to mention?
I don't have nothing on league. Just when y'all get done Saturday night, I'm sure everybody'll be going to the dugout anyway. Probably don't have to give them a shout out too much on that, but
no. And I really think, and I know this is completely off the cuff, I think that you two need to do the weekly podcast Wednesday nights at the dugout after men's league, and we can talk about some of the scores that were turned in. Ooh. And
you know how much beer is drank by the time some of us play golf.
May
the
make the podcast even better.
Yeah. Might get a couple more divorces and some more shit
there's
going on
right
too.
There's gonna be another podcast started, and we're gonna chime in on it anyway. So y'all might as well just jump in and be part of it.
Well, I think that sounds awesome. If we can make that work logistically, then that would be awesome to do that. And Yeah, always ask for forgiveness.
Peer pressure never hurt anyone.
That's right. Right, well, maybe if we could get some people like Subway or in other places advertising on the podcast, yeah. And then we're making a couple bucks.
Yep. I did get Griff to buy a little thing on the scorecard.
Yeah.
$300, and he cussed me the other day because he took a picture of it and seen but how small card, it was.
The scorecard, does not pay in the grip.
No.
We need sponsorships for in the grip.
We need sponsorships for this new podcast that's coming out. We need that kind of money.
I know.
All right, money fixes everything.
Man, y'all got to lay off the best putter in the world.
Yeah, no, we love Griff. It's probably about time to get Griff on here again.
Yeah, I was listening to his the other day.
Hey, so we have TK here, so maybe we need to know a little bit about what's going on at Norwood. He's not technically supposed to be working. I'm still totally
involved right now. The new guy is supposed to be here in a week or so, but I'm not leaving it because we have too much stuff goes on out there. We got CCC, the conference tournaments out there next week on the 3rd. They got district on the 8th out there. There's 16 teams coming for that. Ooh. So, I don't even have to tell you what word that is in that process. So, but anyway, we got that going on. May 15th, we are starting our two-man scramble. It starts at 5:30. So
it's on Mondays.
It's on Monday night, May 15th.
You do good on that, don't you?
Usually, and last year it got really, really good. We had some crazy nice 30 some teams in it sometimes. So we don't do the hole by hole thing. We pay it all out that night.
Yep.
Flight it, and depending on how many teams we flight it, and we pay skins and this and that and the other. Great time, cheap. It's like $22 if you're a member. $30 if you're not a member, something like that. And we cheapen up the beer and the hot dogs and all that, which is hard to do these days because everything's went through the roof. Lance can attest to that deal. Absolutely. With beer and food. Mm-hmm. But anyway, we do cheapen all that up. And so we got that going on. Our three-man 27 holes is July 22nd.
Ooh, we gonna run that team back, Mikey?
Mikey 22nd. And TK. Yeah, I mean, we.
Yeah.
Yeah, we, you know, we shot like 10 under and 2 under, I think, didn't we? 10 under on the front 9 and about 2 under on the back 18, I think. But
the beer caught up with us,
Josh. Yeah, I'm not sure what.
We played right behind y'all. We watched every bit.
I'm not sure what happened. All I know is Mike wasn't very good at back 18.
No. He kind of went to shit.
Yeah. That's what we got going on. We got a lot of stuff. I mean, they have so many events down there and stuff, guys. But the course is in great shape. Other than I can tell you right now, this is the driest,
you were dry,
hardest,
yeah. That's right through here.
April,
I can't believe
I've
it.
Ever seen. And Tracy Scott, when he says that, I know it's true. And man, you throw a ball onto the green and it bounces a 4 or 5 feet. I'm like,
it's like concrete.
Holy crap, what's going on here, kids? But and they're watering and doing everything they can do, but it's not helping a whole lot. They did soften up a little bit today. Yeah. But the golf course is definitely hard. I mean, it runs out way far. So anyway, we're in great shape. Got a lot of stuff going on, but I appreciate Mikey the shout out. But that's what we got. May 15th is the Monday night, two-man scramble, starts at 5:30. That's all it is. We flight it, all that good stuff. So it's a lot of fun, cheap. We used to call it hot dog night because we made dollar hot dogs. But anyway, we don't. They're $2 now, so what the heck.
Still cheap.
Yeah, still cheap. Anyway.
So are we going to get the old 2-day four-man put in this year that we've been talked about?
We've talked about it, but boy, oh boy. Again, it comes down to TK had to run it, and I'm not sure he got that energy to run the day more. But anyhow, but that's
right.
There is talk about it, but Tracy would, I mean, they support it. It's just whether I can pull the trigger on it or not.
You said you got a new guy coming in?
Thomas Brennan is his name. He was he actually had, some of you might know him. He coached at HLG.
Yeah, college coach. Good, yeah, good left hand player.
Oh, he is. Big old redheaded boy. Yep. Hits her left handed. Yep. He hits her long ways. He's a good player.
He's a great player.
Anyway, he's coming in, and he the reason to delay, he's JUCO coach somewhere up northern Illinois somewhere, I think.
Okay.
And that's so right. He'll be in the next week or so, and we'll go from there. But cool. I'm not leaving him. I'm gonna hang around and help, because evidently everybody's got my phone number and not his. So
that's you're what's happening. You're gonna have to get right a new now. Phone. You want to get away?
Yeah, I maybe had to change phone numbers.
You're stuck.
Anyway, it's all good. And you know what? I love Noel Woods. Them Brian and Tracy do a great job. They worked their tails off out there. It's a good golf course. And Mosswood as well. I love it and want to support it and hope folks learn to play them all. We just need people playing golf. So mm-hmm. We need. And the more golf you play, the better off.
You got to do it like me. You got to live halfway in between the two of them. Yeah. And then it's no big deal. You can play Mondays down at Norwoods. You play Wednesdays at Mosswood. Yeah. Yeah, works out great. Hunter's got that figured out too.
Yep.
So,
real quick, talking to TK, talking about his new guy, we got to give a shout out to Tyler Dickens. We brought him up on this pod, but the course looks freaking awesome. Greens are rolling. I mean, they've rolled awesome all year since he started messing with them. Yeah.
Yeah, he knows what he's doing.
Yeah, he is out there working his ass off. Yeah. Trimming bunkers. He's
cutting trees.
Yeah, doing anything.
And got to give Wink props, too. Wink has been out there making, not making any money and just donating his equipment, his time, his fuel. Thank you to that, too. Yeah, anyway, Tyler, I know he listens. He needs a hell of a shout-out because he's working his ass off.
Yeah, we are way happy to have him here.
Yep, and we want him here for a long time.
Yes, stick around.
I think Gibbs has already sucked him into the dugout, though.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
No, absolutely, because my Gibbs, being my father-in-law, he I was cornered by him Sunday night and was told that I was not allowed to hang out with Tyler at the dugout anymore because apparently Sunday night, Tyler may have had a beer or two at the dugout. Made work hard on Monday because my son and a couple of his buddies followed him out home, and he might have been a couple of minutes late getting into work on Monday. And so I have heard nothing but that. So Terry, I'm putting it out there. It's out there now. It's in the podcast. It's going to be on the internet. Everybody will forever hear about it. So Tyler, so whatever you and I drink together at the bar, you cannot tell my father-in-law about it anymore.
Yeah. Shut it down a little earlier. That's quite right.
So that sounds like a normal story with young greenskeepers at Mosswood, because you all gave a shout out to Wink. Wink had some of them same situations come up.
Exactly.
Years ago?
Maybe. A whole lot of years ago.
25.
Yeah, maybe longer, more than that.
Longer.
Longer than that. But anyway.
40.
Yep. There was one tournament, and Tom won't want to hear it, but he ended up, he got nicknamed Wink in the Clink because he ended up in jail. And then when he showed up that morning to finally, because Mike's dad and I, Kenny and I, were out there because we would show up to shine lights on the green for they to mow. Well, we shine lights on the green, but we didn't have anybody to mow.
But no mower.
Because he was in jail. Yeah, anyway. Wink's
God bless you, Wink.
Wink's going to shake his head about this deal. Anyhow, when he did show up, he mowed. I mean, about 800 mile an hour. I never seen that mower go that fast. But anyway, we called him Wink in the Clink after that. It was one of the tournaments. And we had to tee off, and I think I finally said, hey, by the way, if our greenskeeper's out there mowing, just hit him. Don't worry about it. I don't think anybody did, but anyway, it was one of them crazy nights that happens in Wonder City, but I can tell you right now, guys, Tom Winking Back in them days, well, I mean, he was young and could just pretty much come out of school. He could grow grass on the top of this bar right here. I mean, that guy could do it. I mean, he could mow. I mean, he had them greens the best they had ever been. Said he could grow grass on concrete.
Yeah, I mean, that's just him. He's helping Tyler. Giving Tyler a good foothold.
You
know, in that.
I hammer on him for the other, but I will tell you that right now, Mosswood Golf Course back then was unbelievable, and it was because of Tom Winking with the way he could, everything he could do.
Glad to have him back. Help
him. Yeah, absolutely. That's a big plus for you guys, I can tell you.
I know there one time he made the statement that he got pulled over, and he said, well, we're going to arrest you. Like, and he said, you can arrest me. Like, and he said, why? Like, and he said, because I got to cut greens in the morning. So they let him go.
It would. I would have said it had been that night, but nope, that was a different night. Yeah, but yeah, anyhow. Yeah,
you're right. Reoccurring. Sorry. Well, we need to touch on something else that happened in Monroe City not long ago. We had the Masters Golf Tournament down in Augusta, Georgia, and we had the second annual Masters Calcutta up at the dugout. It's kind of started out as a big deal that nobody knew was going to be a big deal. And then it became a really big deal this year. And I think most everybody here was involved in some way. Some of us just spectators. Some of us involved other ways. But what a deal that was.
It's an awesome deal, AJ. And I went the year before and, of course, I spent some money and didn't do anything. But this year I went up there with the whole intention of not spending anything, and really I didn't spend much money, but I drug a few boys from Hannibal down there with me, and I will probably next year drag a few more, to be honest, but it is so much fun.
Well, it started out as just a bunch of Monroe City guys and you hanging out, drinking some beer, and throwing the Calcutta together.
Yeah, trying to make the Masters more interesting, really.
I mean, whenever you throw 20 some odd thousand dollars together for a Calcutta the first year, and then or it was
just under, yeah, closer to 15,
16 ish, and then this year it bumped to
23 24
ish. It's crazy. People around here are gambling crazy, beer drinking. It's fun, it's a hell of a time, and we can't wait for it to happen next year now. I mean, we're already gearing up. The Scrap put it on. Scrap's done it. And all the props go to Scrap for putting it together.
Yeah, absolutely. Scrap does a great job with it.
Yeah,
really does.
Scrap, just keep going, baby, because it's fun, and the dugout loves it, and we'll bring in more help, and we'll make it as good as we can.
Yeah. Just real quick on that, who was the big winners this year? Do we know? You were 20% of the
battle. Well, my good buddy from Hannibal, Jeff Graham, bought John Rahm, and he thank God he just looked at me and said, you want any of that? And I said, well, about all I can afford is 20%. So I did, but whew, that was good.
Yeah,
that's good. A good 20% anyway. Yeah. But and so I know him, but I think probably GQ came out okay.
Yeah. Yep. GQ came out best. I mean, it pays top amateur, it pays best round every day, and it pays first round
leader every day. Is that what you said?
Yeah.
Top ten, and pays
top ten in the tournament. So
the cool thing about it pays so many ways. There's so many ways you
every
can win.
You can make your money unless you're Mike Fulton and myself.
We really don't get anything. You didn't get anything back.
There's always next year.
Yeah,
but you had fun.
I've said that every year, and I've said it during the NCAA basketball tournament.
We don't even want to talk about NCAA.
Hey, we didn't lose as much. It's good. Everything's good.
No, because we had a budget.
Yeah.
Well, good. All right, guys. Well, we touched on a lot of interesting things tonight. Thanks so much for showing up.
Thanks, TK, Mike, Lance, for hopping back on.
Yeah. Lance was here. We didn't get to mention him earlier, but he showed up. And
once again, dugout Saturday night.
Dugout Saturday night after the one man would be fun.
Yep.
I may even try to pull in a karaoke guy.
Just like the old days.
Yeah.
Hey,
why not bring back the old days? The old days are far better than these days.
Here's the deal. The one reason I'm not playing in the tournament, so D sings in a band, and they're at back of Finn's Saturday night singing there. So I'm occupied, and I can't bring my singer along because it sure ain't me. But yeah,
she's already booked.
Yeah, and she's already booked. But you do whatever you need to do with the deal. But yeah, anyway, yeah. Because her and Kevin did sing one night. They sang a little song one night, and I didn't tell you. Yeah, it's awesome. So yeah, the girl can sing, and of course Kevin was awesome. But yeah,
she's a whole lot prettier than you are.
All right, she is. She is. And, you know, she just turned, I'll give the shout out, she just turned 60. You know that? Just the other day.
Woo! Happy birthday.
She's probably going to be happy that you threw that number out there.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you could say 29.
Yeah. Nah, it's all good.
You could have given her a 31st anniversary of her 29th birthday.
Yeah,
it is. 29, 21.
It's all good. But, anyway, yeah, the old standard was always karaoke on the one man. Yeah, that way back in the day. That's like I said, when Kevin was, and we only did it mainly because of him, because we knew he could sing.
Well, that's what Gene Henry owned it.
Yep.
And he says, "Hey, is that Lloyd boy coming from Iowa?" We're like, "Yeah, he's signed up." He said, "Good, I'm gonna have karaoke Saturday night."
That's exactly right. Yeah.
Well, maybe we get him back and
somebody get a hold of that.
Fired up.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he quit playing in these because he had kids getting into high school.
He probably did. So. Yeah. Probably did.
Yeah. Well, they're probably graduating. We need to get a hold of him.
Yeah.
Yep.
All right. Well, guys, again, thanks so much for coming on.
You know what? Thank you, guys. Yeah. This is awesome. We get to get on here and babble about stuff. And the old days.
You all ain't done getting on.
Nope. Yeah. You'll be back.
Awesome.